Well, do if you've got a Bible there in front of you, do turn back with me to Matthew's Gospel and Matthew chapter 7. We're going to look together at Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 through to 29. Well, some choices in life are very simple, very easy, and very clear cut. And I wonder if you can help me with a few of these choices this morning. Imagine, first of all, that you want to have a day out. Now, do you prefer to have a nice sunny day out at Southwold Beach on the pier with the crazy kind of weird machines they have on the pier and the beach and the sand and the sun? Would you like to have that sort of a summer day out? Or would you rather have one where you find yourself sat outside in the pouring rain under an umbrella? It's an easy choice, isn't it? Who here would rather have the sunny day? Put your hand up. Excellent. And who would rather sit outside under a very wet umbrella? There's a few of you here. You're all wrong. It's the first choice, obviously. Well, if that's a nice day out, what about lunch options? Who would like to go to this place, this fine establishment? This is McDonald's in Bury St. Edmunds. It is one of the finest eateries on the planet. In fact, this week I'm a little bit excited because they've released a new burger which meshes together my two favorites on the menu, the quarter pounder with cheese and the double cheeseburger, coming together into one perfect... Well, I've not tried it yet, but I'm just imagining. Who would rather eat at McDonald's for lunch or have a bowl of kale? I'm hearing kale. I mean, I can respect the dissenting opinion, but it's wrong. The correct option is McDonald's in Bury St. Edmunds for lunch, obviously. Okay, so let's think that maybe this week you're going to go to the cinema. And you're going to go to the cinema and you're going to see a film, and you've got two choices. You can either go see The Lion King, the brand new version of The Lion King, this time with 100%, I was going to say real, but they're actually computer lions. Or you can go see what the internet describes as one of the most boring films of all time, called The Postman, a 3-hour epic about a man who is a postman. It's hard to imagine how that film got made, really. But which sort of film would you rather see? Would you rather go see The Lion King, or would you rather go see The Postman? The Lion King, exactly. Hakuna Matata, Ted, that's right. Some choices are simple and easy to make. None more so than this choice. Who would you rather support? Would you rather support the Tractor Boys, or would you rather support Norwich City Football Club? The Norwich fans have to be loud, don't they? But at least Ipswich Town don't score their own goals. You see, this morning, Jesus presents us all with a choice. He presents us with a choice which is also very simple, very straightforward, very clear-cut, and where there's an easy and obvious right choice to make. In fact, it's perhaps the simplest of all the choices that we could possibly have to make. It's a choice that we all face. Will we choose to follow Jesus with the whole of our lives and follow Jesus to eternal life? Or will we choose to reject him? Jesus presents us at the end of the Sermon on the Mount with a very simple choice. Will we follow him to eternal life? Or will we reject him to disaster? Jesus says in verses 13 to 14, at the beginning of our passage, Jesus says this. He says, "Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate, and narrow is the road that leads to life, and only a few find it." And Jesus' point is this. Every single person in the world is traveling along one of two roads in life. We're all living in one of two different ways. And we all have to choose which of the two roads we're going to travel on with our lives. We're either going to go down a narrow path, which looks like a lot of hard work. It's a bit rutted, it's a bit bumpy, it's possibly a few nettles, it's a bit overgrown, and frankly, there's not that many people who seem to be choosing that hard road. But Jesus has gone along it. And if we follow after him along that narrow path, it's going to lead us to eternal life. Well, the other option for us is the wide, well-paved, easy-traveling road, where there's a big crowd of people heading down it, smoothly and easily. But actually, it's leading to disaster. Jesus tells us at the end of the Sermon on the Mount that we have to choose which of these two roads we're going to travel down with our lives. Which one are we going to spend our lives on? Are we going to choose the hard, rough, narrow one that squeezes through to a narrow little gate but leads to life? Or are we going to travel on the smooth, popular, wide, easy one that rejects Jesus and leads to disaster? You see, surely that's a super simple choice, isn't it? And a bit of a no-brainer. Surely we want to follow the road which leads to life rather than the road that heads to disaster. And when Jesus tells us this parable, when he tells the disciples, when he tells the crowds who've gathered on the mountain to hear Jesus speak to them, he's also pointing out that we all have to choose. For when it comes to Jesus, there is no neutral ground. You can't sit on a fence with Jesus, because we're all traveling already on one of these two roads. We've already got a choice to make. So let me ask you this morning, whether you're here for the first time with us or you've been here many, many weeks, many, many years, are you following Jesus and traveling on that narrow road? Or do you reject Jesus? And as he says to you this morning, you're traveling on a road which is disastrous. And you see, the answer to that question is the most important choice you'll ever make. It's more important than who you'll marry. It's more important than what job you'll have. It's more important than whether you'll buy a house or not. It's more important than whether you decide to go to university or not. But it's a choice that we all have to make. Are we going to follow Jesus, or are we going to reject him? So secondly then, this morning, Jesus says to us, Jesus urges us, really, across this whole passage, he's urging us to avoid the path to destruction. And I guess in one sense, that's a really obvious thing to say, isn't it? No one wants to end up in a position where it's going to be disastrous. But actually, people can be really rather self-destructive. Whether it be those silly videos which you see popping up on Facebook of, say, people who decide it'd be a really clever idea to go and bounce as high as they possibly can on a trampoline with four large friends, and rather instead of staying on the trampoline, they end up in the next door garden with a broken leg. Or whether it be something much more harmful and self-destructive, like developing a gambling problem. People can and do all sorts of dangerous and harmful things, even when they know that it might hurt them, that it might ruin them. And Jesus, in our passage this morning, he gives us a broad insight through lots of these different little parables, which he kind of stitches one after the other after the other. He gives us insight into why people decide to choose that broad path, that easy road that leads to disaster. He clues us into some of the reasons why we might be tempted to choose to follow the broad, easy road rather than go along the hard, narrow path to life. Let's see them together. Why would anyone take the path to destruction? Well, for a start, it's really easy. In verse 13, Jesus describes how the gate is wide and broad, and it's the road that leads to destruction. Wider gates and broader roads just make it easier to go along with the flow. Just think, when you finally get out of Suffolk, when you finally get to a place with a motorway, you've got to go somewhere, you've got to go basically Stansted before you get three lanes. But my absolute favourites are those four-lane beauties. You know, the ones a bit like the M25, a bit like the M1, where you have all those lanes to just stretch out and swerve around all the lorries to your heart's content. It's so much easier to drive along a broad motorway than it is to try and fight along the narrow single lane of the Newmarket Road on the heading towards the A14 at 8 o'clock on a Monday morning. And one of the reasons why it's so easy to travel on that broad, smooth path is, as Jesus also says in verse 13, is that it's what most people are doing. Jesus says, many enter through the wide gate, but only a few enter by the small gate. And most people want to do what the majority are doing. It's always easier to go with the crowds than it is to stick out and look odd and different. It's always easier to think what everyone else thinks, to be on the side of the majority. And if we see a crowd doing something, we very often copy. But another reason why you might take the path to destruction is because influential people might persuade you to do it. In verses 15 to 20, Jesus shares a parable about false prophets who come in sheep's clothing. And Jesus' message from this parable is he wants us to watch out. He wants us to watch out for false prophets. He wants us to watch out for people who look respectable, who look trustworthy, who look like sheep, but are actually secretly wolves. And I think when Jesus is first teaching the people, when he's teaching the disciples, and when he's teaching the crowds who've come to hear, I think Jesus has first in his mind people who claim to be Christians, but who are teaching a different gospel. Instead of telling us to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of our sins, they're trying to add to the gospel or change it. They're the sort of people who tell us that we don't need to believe every part of the Bible. They're the sort of people who tell us that now that we're in the 21st century, we need to change what God has said to make it more relevant to people. But false prophets aren't just those who can be inside the church, who can claim to be Christians. But they're also all over the place outside the church too. They're on our TV screens. They're filling up our Facebook news feeds. They're filling the column inches in the best newspapers. And they're all the voices who tell us that we don't need God, for we don't need religion, and we especially don't need any more of that Christianity. Thank you very much. Because now that we are in the 21st century, we can find all the solutions to life's problems ourselves. All we need to be doing is to make sure that we're happy and content here and now. And the thing is, these people who are wolves in sheep's clothing, these people are very often reasonable. They're often really nice. And they seem quite honest and quite hardworking and quite generous. And so we can respect them and be sympathetic to them. But Jesus says, watch out. He says, watch out for false prophets, both inside the church and outside. Watch out for any influential person who might be persuading you to move away from the path, who might be tempting you to doubt the road that you're on, and instead to try and switch you from following Jesus to that broader, wider, easier road that leads to disaster. Another reason why it can be so hard and so easy to head on that broad road is that sometimes outwardly it can look like it's the godly choice. In verses 21 to 23, if you look down at the passage, Jesus says something terrifying. Jesus says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven." And Jesus makes the terrifying point that in this life, you can drive out demons in Jesus' name, you can perform many miracles, but on the final day, he might say to you, "I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers." You see, sometimes from a distance, the path that leads to disaster and destruction, sometimes from a distance, that can appear to be godly. And that's terrifying. Jesus says, watch out. He says, watch ourselves. Because the wide road can look godly from a distance. Because we can be so obsessed with doing religious things, with being moral, with putting on events at church, with doing good, that we can be so busy, for we have never truly known Jesus. But ultimately, I think perhaps the greatest reason why so many people end up on that broad road that leads to disaster is because it doesn't cost you anything. You see, if you stay on the wide road, you don't have to change. You don't have to learn to love your enemy. You don't have to give up a love of money. You don't have to seek first God's kingdom. You don't have to change anything about yourself. And right at the end of the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus tells the parable of the wise and foolish builders in verses 24 to 27. And the foolish builder, when he builds his house, in verse 26, he hears Jesus' words, like you do here this morning, but he ignores them. He doesn't put them into practice. He doesn't seek to change. He just carries on as he was. He hears Jesus and he thinks, oh, that's very interesting. But he just leaves it at that. Because unless the Spirit of God is at work in your heart, prodding you, shaping you, bringing you to God the Father himself, then who wants to change? Who wants to admit that they're wrong? Who wants to choose that bumpy, hard, narrow road with stinging nettles when everyone else is taking the easy, broad road? To hear Jesus' words and ignore them doesn't cost you anything. But the problem is that taking the easy way, following everyone else, listening to the influential false prophets, it appears godly, but it ultimately leads to disaster, to destruction in both this life and in the next. As Jesus says, the false teachers may appear wise, but check their fruit. See what the lives are like of those who follow them. And in verse 17, you'll see that a bad tree produces bad fruit. A life of chasing happiness will never be full. A life of worshipping money will never be satisfied. A life of self will never truly know love. And when the storms of life come, which they will, when cancer, when financial crisis, when death arrives, then those on the wide path will be battered and find their houses falling down like the foolish builder. And ultimately, that disaster will be made permanent in the life to come. And Jesus hinted it again throughout this passage. In verse 13, with his language of destruction. In verse 19, with a reference to the ultimate fire. And in verse 23, with Jesus' terrifying declaration, "I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers." Jesus says to us this morning, avoid the path that leads to destruction. Hear Jesus' words, see the warning, and instead choose the path to life. Jesus says in verse 14, Jesus says, small is the gate and narrow the way that leads to life. See, Jesus wants us to follow him. Jesus wants us to obey his words and head down that narrow, bumpy path. And as we do so, we'll find life. Life in all of its fullness as we head along the narrow path. And ultimately, eternal life when we reach the end and we see Jesus face to face forever. And Jesus gives us a sample of that fullness of life that we'll find as we head along that narrow road behind him. In verse 17, Jesus describes how we will produce good fruit in our lives. If we're following Jesus today on the narrow path to life, then we should expect to see ourselves grow in love, in peace, in patience, in goodness and kindness, in faithfulness and gentleness, and in self-control. As we choose the path to life, we'll grow in our love for God and our love for others. What better way is there to live than that? In verses 24 to 27, in that parable of the wise and the foolish builders, Jesus describes how the wise builder, who builds his house on the path to life, he's able to withstand the trials of life. When the winds come and the waves batter at the house, it doesn't collapse. Because choosing the narrow path means that you'll be more resilient. You'll be able to endure better when suffering comes. Because suffering comes to all people in this world. But we can endure it better if we're on the road to life. Because you won't suffer on your own. The Holy Spirit will be living within you, helping you, praying for you. Your Father in heaven will be ruling and reigning over everything for you, loving and caring for you. And if we go right the way back to the very start of the Sermon on the Mount, back to chapter 5, we have what we would have known as the Beatitudes, those sayings that Jesus starts as he opens the Sermon on the Mount. And how does Jesus describe his followers? He describes them there as being blessed. Blessed are those on the narrow path, those who are poor in spirit. They're blessed. And by following Jesus on the narrow path, you can know God is your heavenly Father today. You can pray to your Father in heaven. You can know that you need never be anxious about what you'll eat or drink, because your Father in heaven loves you and cares for you. You see, choosing the narrow path to life brings life now. It brings a life of knowing God, of growing in grace. It brings a life of fullness. But it's only a start. Because true life, life in all its fullness and color, is still yet to come. And that will only fully and truly come when the Lord Jesus Christ finally returns. When this whole world is remade and we will live together in what John in the book of Revelation describes as the new heavens and the new earth. When we'll live forever in a perfect world, with no more sin, no more death, no more pain. But most importantly, God will be there. Jesus will be amongst us. We'll see them face to face. We'll know them personally. We'll be able to worship in person. We'll be living life as it's truly meant to be, as God designed it, as our Father in heaven wants us to experience it in all of its fullness. How do we choose the path to life? Well, it's very simple. As Jesus says in verse 24, we're to hear Jesus' words and to put them into practice. We're to hear Jesus' promises and to believe. We're to come to Jesus and to seek his forgiveness for the ways in which we fail to obey, whether today for the very first time, or whether this is the umpteenth time we've done so. We're to hear Jesus' words and ask for his help to change. to put his challenges into practice. Yes, we'll get it wrong. Yes, we'll fail. Yes, it will be hard work and inconvenient. But Jesus has died for our forgiveness. Jesus has come for those who are poor in spirit, for those who are meek, for those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. He asks that we choose to follow him along the narrow path that leads to life, rather than to head off on that broad, easy path that leads to disaster. Which will you choose today? Which will you choose with your whole life? Jesus says to us, choose the narrow way that leads to life and him forever.